Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is another Wellness Wednesday, and this is Elder Care Radio, brought to you by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care.
Yes, it is.
You guys have been yucking it up the last 5 or 10 minutes over there. What's going on? I didn't hear any of it.
We've now run out of things to say.
Oh, okay. the opening, try to make it different, but just good morning is really morning. Yeah. That's all that matters, right?
What a glorious day.
Well, I was going to say, actually, today is absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love, after a clean rain, the smell of the clean air and how the sun is still, it's still bright outside, but it's just slightly behind clouds. It's beautiful out there. Cool weather.
It is really great. And now we're going to segue into, we were donated another hospital bed, six-way action, head moves up, feet move up, it'll raise up and down, and we'd like anybody who thinks they need that to give
free
us a call.
Free to someone who can really benefit for it.
What a great service.
Please give us a call at 435-477-6999. Again, our telephone number is 435-477-6999. If you think that you could really benefit, or somebody you love can benefit from a fully functional, newer hospital bed, let me know.
Yep. So today we want to talk about some new studies that are coming out on brain, Alzheimer's, things like that, and some pretty interesting information in these studies. There's been some question about, let me start with, it's been accepted and commonly understood that Alzheimer's is usually affected by an accumulation of beta amyloid in the brain tissue.
Beta what?
Beta amyloid.
Amyloid, okay.
Yes. And there's been a number of studies been going on about that. This one, which was just published recently, out
in
of
2018, right?
No, this one was published just this past few months.
Oh, okay.
But it it talks about a study that was done with mice, so that we can really do some detailed analysis of it. The accumulation of beta amyloid and how that happens in the brain, because there has been some concern that maybe this whole beta amyloid thing is not the cause, but just a result of dementia and Alzheimer's. And so this study, and we're going to talk about it a little bit, used mice, and they actually genetically engineered the mice so that the liver would produce beta amyloid, because one of the things they were trying to figure out is where this stuff comes from. Does the brain produce it? Or is it somewhere else? Because they could never find in humans where, how that would be produced in the brain. Well, so they were able to make it, create these mice that would create human beta amyloid through their liver, and they watched the progression of it and how it affected them. And so without a doubt, the mice that, and they had two groups, the test group and the control group. The mice that had the beta amyloid producing livers had accumulations in their brain, and they did a study of testing them. They call it fear-based memory testing, and
I don't like the result of that.
Yeah, it sounds pretty bad because I understand how fear motivates.
I think we all do now.
So I had to look into it. I couldn't just leave that alone, and so I pulled up what that means, and it's not as barbaric as we might think. So here's one example of a test, and that is they take a mouse and they put it, and they've got a container that has two sides to it. One side is brightly lit and painted white, and the other one is nice and dark, and there's a small opening that they can get in. They put the mouse in the white one. Now, mice don't like to be out in the open. They usually like to hide in small places. So that mouse will immediately look for some place to go, and they'll find the small opening, and they'll try and get in it. And as the mouse tries to get in it, they close the opening, and then they give the mouse a slight shock on the foot. And then they put the mouse away, and they come back sometime later, 24 hours or more, depending on what they're trying to test.
Of course, that slight shock is the fear, mm-hmm. and it teaches them, or it's supposed to teach them, don't come in here. This is a scary place.
This isn't what you expect, and it's something to avoid. And what they're trying to find out is if the brain can take that in and make that adjustment. And so they measure then the amount of time that mouse will
take to learn it.
The number of days, but also they measured by the how much time the mouse takes before they try it again. You know, so those are both indicators. And so now they're testing these two mice, and they find that in the ones that have the beta amyloid producing livers, that they cognitively lose the ability to learn. You know, they regardless of what happens, they don't have that. So that's just proof of the assumption, right? The other part of it is they would actually take tissue samples from these under controlled circumstances, and they could get a lot of tissue samples over a period of time, and they would take it of the liver and the brain and the a couple of other organs to see what, you know, this beta amyloid would do. And sure enough, they were able to track it being produced in the liver and ending up in the brain. And they were actually able to fully determine how that beta amyloid kind of happens in there. And there's a number of different parts of it. But beta amyloid is a portion of a much larger protein in the body. And those proteins get used in a number of different processes. But some of the times when those large proteins are used in our own body process, they fracture off and these beta amyloids get produced, and they then are able to pass what they call the blood-brain barrier. There's a thin wall that keeps our blood in our bloodstream and not, you know, flooding our organs, but these are small enough that they can get past that and they lodge in the brain, and then they accumulate and they cause inflammation, and the inflammation causes brain damage.
Sadly, one of the things that I think we all need to remember here, well, first let me start by saying that this is still under test studies for, you know, final determination, but it seems like a very likely cause. But what we need to remember is our heart can, you know, heal often, or at least in a portion. Our lungs can, our liver can, but our brain can't. If the brain cells die, they're dead and they can't be recovered. While we can find other pathways or other neuropaths, the portion that is dead will remain dead. So really taking this information and then using it to understand how the process works so that we can prevent really is the best option. And for me personally, just knowing that this might be a result of these amyloids being, you know, lodged in my brain and killing brain matter, I'll change my diet ever so slightly. I mean, I'm the first to admit, I understand diet is really hard to change, and I love my sugars. So it would be hard for me. But boy, realizing the consequence or the outcome is kind of scary enough to make me at least start preventatively, at least a little bit.
Right. So, and agree entirely with, we should all probably make some improvements in our lives, whether it helps us with Alzheimer's or helps us with kidney disease or all the other conditions of age. Anything that we do is better than everything we don't do. So that's important to understand. But the key point that Kaylee made and can't be stressed enough is that all of this research, all of the things that they're looking into, are not going to reverse anybody's condition. Especially today. Right now, we have no information that would reverse anything. But all the discussions are about slowing down the progress. We talked a few weeks ago about a drug that was supposed to help with Alzheimer's, but the expectation is that it might reduce the decline by 10% or possibly 25%. And what that means is that in 4 years, you would only have 3 years worth of decline. That doesn't seem like a real win for those people who are struggling with Alzheimer's today and their families. And so if you are struggling today, I don't want you to be disappointed that there isn't an answer, but we all have to be real that there isn't going to be anything that's going to get somebody back to the way they were. We're working with the way they are today. And from our position, we know that that's a hard struggle. You know, when your day is overwhelmed with just trying to make it, you know, through the day because of somebody's dementia, then we would really like to help. We can bring resources in that will at least relieve some of the burden and some of the stress on the caregiver and the family so that they can be more the spouse and the loved one instead of the one that's just doing the perfunctory, I have to, you know, get all these things done.
Trying so desperately to accomplish all the tasks that are in a normal day, regardless of compounding it with trying to care for somebody with such a debilitating, difficult disease. So there are resources available, and please feel free to give our office a call. There is never an obligation. We just want to help. Mm-hmm. We can help direct you or steer you to resources for training or possibly bringing people into your help to your home to relieve some of the burdens or into facilities. Care can be, you know, given wherever you call home.
Mm-hmm. But if you think cost is a concern, Andy, what does it cost to get help in your home if you qualify for hospice?
Let me do the math. I'm going to take care of this seven. Zero. Nothing.
Right.
There's no cost. And so that should not be one of the limiting factors for you.
Yeah. And that includes no cost for our expanded palliative care program. And let me remind everyone that we are currently the first and only company in this town offering an expanded program for palliative care. And the whole reason we came here was to introduce the concept to all the other companies and to the public to help you to realize that the palliative provision is offered in 43 other states. We're trying to educate the community, the doctors, the beneficiaries, the people struggling today in southern Utah to realize that there's a lot more help available. Give our office a call and we'll help you find the resources.
Okay. So back to the study. What they found was that there were still neurodegenerative events, even for those mice that don't have adjusted liver. But that was significantly less often than those that did. So, again, it indicates that this beta amyloid problem is the core issue in Alzheimer's. They could show that there was a corollary between the accumulation of beta amyloid and the test functions, for people. So those are really critical things to understand. Now, here's the other part of it. We also, and this has been going around a long time, there are a lot of questions about it how do we resolve that? Do we reduce the amount of beta amyloid in our bodies? Well, they've done some testing in that. In fact, some of the things that we know reduce beta amyloid, one of them is a ketogenic diet. And there was a study done because there have been studies in the past that said a high saturated fat diet increased beta amyloid in the body. And then they specifically did a test where they compared a high carbohydrate, low fat test against a ketogenic test where it's high fat but extremely low carbs. And they found that a few positive things happened. One, the ketogenic rats lost weight, which is good for health. They say that calorie starvation is a good idea, and the ketogenic diet has some of the same effects of calorie reduction without having to necessarily reduce calories. So they lost weight. They had better blood metabolisms and a number of other things. But here was the point. Oh, and they also reduced the beta amyloid in the blood by about 25%. That's the adjustment. But here's the takeaway from that. Despite changes in ketogenic level, body weight, and beta amyloid levels, the ketogenic diet did not alter behavioral measures. So when they actually just tested these mice on memory and things like that, they couldn't show an improvement. So reducing it may not be enough. But there are things that can be beneficial for that. The ketogenic diet has a lot of other benefits. So some other things that they've studied on beta amyloid, they studied B vitamins. And so that's B6, B12, and folate. And they found that that had a huge benefit on that, reducing the beta amyloid. And so there's continuing studies going on to see if reducing beta amyloid is going to reduce Alzheimer's. And the third thing that they determined, that there's a study going on right now, and it started in April of 2018, and they're going to end the trials in October of 2022. And at some point after, we're going to get some information back. And the study is about reducing blood pressure to control and reduce beta amyloid in the bloodstream. So all of these things that can be done maybe to help Alzheimer's, whether it helps with Alzheimer's or not, they're all good things to keep track of. So improving our diet is a good thing for us to take care of. Making sure that we are getting all of our vitamins, our B vitamins. A lot of people are deficient in B vitamins. A huge number of people are deficient in D vitamins. And so being able to stay on top of those things and reducing blood pressure. You know, keeping that blood pressure at 120, 130 instead of at that 160, 180 that some people are experiencing, really making that effort. If those things don't help with Alzheimer's, they do help with other parts of the body system.
And remember, stress and poor sleeping habits will also increase blood pressure.
Right. So then the other part of this is, okay, so if reducing beta amyloid doesn't solve the problem, how about if we are able to process that beta amyloid out? And there are studies going on right now in ways to get that processed out so that it doesn't accumulate in the brain. Because age has an effect on that. They say that for people who, the process for beta amyloid in the brain for somebody who's young, it takes about 4 hours to process that out. So that means that if there's X amount coming in and we're processing it out in 4 hours, there's not a lot sticking around. And as we age, that gets up to about 10 hours. Now, if we add on environmental stresses and other problems, then those numbers get worse. And so as we overload our brain with beta amyloid, then we're going to be pushing this problem harder down the road. So again, for the future, all of this study is great because it may reduce our overall numbers, because Alzheimer's degree is increasing in our country. There are millions and millions of people that are experiencing that, and based upon the numbers, that's going to go up. And as our lives expand in time, then that number is going to go up, and that has an effect on the individuals, the families, the community, you know, all of those things. So anything that we can do to reduce this number overall in the future is great. But if you were hoping that there's going to be a magical, you know, silver bullet to solve your problem today, I can tell you that medicine isn't going to provide that. All we can do is manage the circumstances. And so trying to reduce the increase is great. Do everything you can there. But again, I plead with you that if you are having a problem, if you have somebody in your life that is dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's, and we can bring resources in that just supplement you and help you make it through the day a little easier so that you can find things to enjoy instead of just worrying and struggling, then that would be a great benefit for us. We would feel good that we were able to help, and we would hope that it helps you also. All right. So I hope we've answered many of those questions on that realm. Certainly there's more, and if you're interested in the studies that have been done, give our office a call. Excuse me. Give our offices a call. We will forward that information to you in raw form and give you the links so that you can do your research yourself and be better prepared to have those conversations with people. If there are other concerns that you have, if there are other issues that you think are important to find out about, give us a call. We'll point you in a direction. We'll do some research for you. You may become the topic of another radio broadcast.
That often happens.
And we won't use your name.
Right.
So.
And our office number is, so for those of you who are trying to reach us, 435-477-6999. Again, it's 435-477-6999. Remember, Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care is the only company with an expanded palliative care program that can be covered at 100% free of charge because it's one of your Medicare benefits. And many insurance also emulate the Medicare hospice benefit. So Medicaid does, and many, many of the insurances do. So there's a very good possibility that all of your palliative care can be covered free of charge. Give our office a call. We'll send a nurse out to do an assessment That's also free. We'll work directly with your doctors. We are licensed and accredited not only by Medicare, Medicaid, the state of Utah, but also we went above and beyond to get our full accreditation with Accreditation Commission on Healthcare. That means that not only do we have to do the minimum standard that everyone else in this valley is promising to provide, but we also had to submit ways that we would do more, that our palliative care was expanded, that we were offering more services, more time in the home, and working more directly with the family and the patient to provide the cares that will increase your quality of life. So it's a great program. It's not a charity program. You've been paying for it since you started working. It is part of your basic Medicare coverage. So this is one benefit that they won't try and attach assets or take anything from you.
And whether you are paying for an additional Medicare benefit or not, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This benefit is available to you.
To everyone with Medicare or, Medicaid or many of the other insurances. So it really is a great program. We wish more people were listening and would pass the word on to their friends and neighbors, because there's so many people in this valley that need help and they just don't know how easy it is to get the help that they're looking for.
Just a simple phone call. That most easy number here in the valley to remember is local area code 435, and then the simplest, 477 on the left and 6999 on the right, middle and drop down. It's that simple. So if you just visualize that one time, you will never forget the phone number.
Can you tell Richard spent great time picking that number out of all the list of numbers? How he can make it the easiest?
Well, I was blessed that it was just available, and it was so obviously the right number. It wasn't that I got to, craft that number specifically, but when I saw it, of the choices that I had, it just made sense. So yeah.
He had a few choices, and he was like, that's it.
That's the easy one, isn't it? Because on the left-hand side, it's just 477. That's the first part, and then you switch over to the right side, and it's 6999, and you're done. So, yeah, we feel blessed there in so many ways. every day we just feel like, opportunity is laid out for us to accomplish this great task, and we're excited. Even being here on the radio,
we've made a lot of friends. It's been great. Yeah.
By the way, if this was the old days with a dial phone.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
That would be a terrible phone number.
That would be
terrible. You'd have to wait for all the big numbers to get done.
Nine.
Yeah, that's the way.
Nine.
It'll last it all day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So luckily today, that's not the case. So give us a call.
Isn't it funny that our children have never even seen a rotary phone?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, many of them. I mean, if you've saved an old rotary phone. But.
Yep.
Sometimes they have that little kid's toy, the little rainbow-colored one with the dial thing on it, but it's not the same.
Well, even that is kind of going away. That toy has gone to a push button, so it's kind
just
of interesting.
Give them an iPad and they're happy now, right?
Yeah, right. They just talk into it. Call mom.
Yeah, we don't have to remember phone numbers anymore, which is probably good on the Alzheimer's side of that. But
well, and bad, because we're not doing the memory game test.
So. That's right. Well, and the other part of this is, so 1 minute left. Let me just say that if we are trying to improve our memory, stretching and working that muscle is a good idea.
Which means reading, playing cognitive games.
Right.
And those are some of the things that we send our caregivers out to help with. It's incredible how much benefit can come if in the morning you start with some cognitive games. It kind of starts a patient with dementia or Alzheimer's, their day kind of gets better. It's pretty incredible how much that can benefit.
So we enjoy being here on the radio, and we appreciate you as listeners, and we look forward to being here next week and bringing hopefully more information you're interested in.
Yeah. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Enjoy this weather. Take care.